live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is already a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. And you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, X at Zach Gelb. That is ZACHGELB. I want to start the show with the San Francisco 49ers today, because the future of the San Francisco 49ers to me is very compelling. Now, we have discussed before with San Francisco, and I gave you my opinion just earlier this week, you're not going to go into this season with all that the Niners have lost, especially with the season that they just did come off of, and also knowing that the Rams not only brought back Matthew Stafford, but then they bolstered to their offense, even though they're seeing Cooper Kupp now hit free agency as they just released him. But they were able to go out there and land the services of Davante Adams, and that means you put together an offense that has Stafford as the gunslinger. You have, as your running back, Kyren Williams. You have Puka Nacua and Davante Adams, the 1-2 punch. And then hopefully Tyler Higbee can be healthy this year. And then you have a really solid tight end. Plus, you have really some strong young emerging names on the defensive side of the ball. And you saw what the rookies were able to do last year in the 1-2 punch with the first and second round of a Jared Verse and also a Braden Fisk. And obviously there's other names on that defense with Turner and Young that are very, very good players in this league. And you have a brainiac coach who is a top three coach in the league in Sean McVay. So going into this season, the Niners are not expected to win the NFC West. It doesn't mean that they can't. The 49ers are not expected to win the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean that they can't. The 49ers are not expected to go to the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean they can't. Like, right now, I think if you're going to go to the apex with the 49ers, I would say, if you just give me a one simple statement, right? Miss the playoffs, wild card team, win the division, win the NFC, win the Super Bowl. Like, if those are kind of the ways that we're talking about this with the 49ers, I think most people, if you're saying the absolute apex for the 49ers going into this year, knowing not only they're battling the Rams in the NFC West, but in the NFC, they're battling the Lions, the Eagles, right? The rest of the NFC North as well. The Commanders, too, in the NFC East. If you want to throw Tampa Bay in there out of the NFC South, being the strong team from that division, I think the farthest people will go right now and feel comfortable with maybe a little bit of a risk would be the Niners win the NFC West. But I don't think, right, the Niners are going to win the NFC West. There's a chance they miss the playoffs. I said earlier in the week, there's a greater chance that the Niners miss the playoffs this year than it is that they represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. But right now, like, if you put a gun to my head and said, Zach, make a prediction on the San Francisco 49ers, I would probably say wild card, right? Like, you look at them and you would say, okay, NFC East, I go Philadelphia. NFC North, today, I would take the Detroit Lions. NFC South, I go Tampa Bay. NFC West, I would go with the Rams. And then probably, right, when you look at the wild card teams, I would probably go with the Commanders. I would also probably go with the Packers. And then after that, it's like, all right, you got one spot. Do you go the 49ers? Do you go the Vikings? Do you go the Bears? That's probably the way that we're talking about it. So if the Niners don't get into the postseason via the NFC West, it truly is a crapshoot to get into the postseason as a wild card team, because the NFC used to be not that strong the last 3-4 years. And what we saw this past year was, in my opinion, the NFC not only closed the gap, but just slightly usurped the AFC. So I set that up for the first 5 minutes, and I look at the Niners with all that they've lost on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball this offseason, and let's really hone in on the offense. There still could be changes coming. Like, I think Brandon Ayuk it's clear the Niners would prefer to deal him. I don't think they're just going to deal him for anything, but I don't think it's going to cost that much in draft compensation where you're going to get blown away if you're a fan base that's acquiring Brandon Ayuk and you're like, oh my goodness gracious, we gave away this pick to go get Brandon Ayuk. I think the Niners would prefer to get the contract and already the commitment they made to him, have that be somebody else's problem. And in order to do that, you'd be willing to take on a lesser draft pick in return. So we already know Juszczyk is out. We already know Debo is out on the offensive side of the ball for the 49ers. Brock Purdy will inevitably get his, and he will get his contract. But I think the two names to monitor here, and one is the obvious, it's Brandon Ayuk. But I've also seen people in the last week where I don't know if it's been any reports that they're like, oh, he's available, or oh, they're going to trade him. But I've seen some speculation that maybe the Niners, with Christian McCaffrey being 29, coming off an injury-plagued season where it was a disaster right from the jump, and he has this year, 2026 and 2027 left on the contract, maybe that's one of the players that ends up becoming a cap casualty as the 49ers really start to retool their football team. And, right, there's when you're retooling, there's different levels of it. You know, I don't think the Niners are that far off compared to other teams that have been in a spot where they've been in the mix, right? The Niners, obviously, they've been to two Super Bowls. They haven't got the job done. Like, if you look at it, the Bills, the Bengals, the Ravens, the 49ers, you know, you could even say maybe Miami is like a team. Like, you look at those teams that I just mentioned that have been in the playoff mix the last few years, but have not won a Super Bowl. Like, Buffalo just did this last year. They retooled. They got rid of a big-time player for them in Stephon Diggs, and they found a way to go to an AFC championship game. You know, the Bengals, we're going to see what they're going to need to do right now. You know, they've lost some big names throughout the last few years, like a Jesse Bates. I think they're going to be able to keep Ja'Marr Chase, but we don't know what's going to happen with Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins by week one. You look at a team like the Baltimore Ravens. They've been in the mix. Lamar. You know, they added Derrick Henry. You know, that's a team that's been adding. You know, they just got DeAndre Hopkins in there. Now, DeAndre Hopkins isn't what he once was, and they lost some players in the defensive side of the ball the last few years. And you look like a team at Miami. You know, I was on 560 WQAM yesterday, and I said this. I think Miami's in the worst spot you could be in the NFL. You're not bad enough where you're going to be picking in the top 10 and be getting a difference maker. But you're also not great enough where anyone thinks you're going to an AFC championship game. Or you're not great enough where anyone thinks you're going to go win a Super Bowl. You're one of those teams that you're teetering on. You could just make the playoffs or just miss the playoffs. And if you get in, no one's anticipating you going on a deep run. Heck, the Steelers are similar too. Like the Steelers, if I told you the Pittsburgh Steelers missed the playoffs this year, is anyone surprised? No. But if I tell you they get in, is anyone picking Pittsburgh to be playing in the AFC championship game? Absolutely not. So the Niners, they had their run. And in terms of a run that doesn't equate to a Super Bowl, like they were a team that was at the top of the list of the last few years. You know, they've had a better run than the Buffalo Bills because the Bills haven't been able to break through and get to the Super Bowl. Now, if the Bills played in the NFC, I'm sure they would have by now. But we've seen the 49ers get to the Super Bowl twice. The outlook, though, looks a whole lot better, even in the AFC going up against Mahomes with the Bills, than it does with the 49ers now. Because the 49ers run really started in 2019, right before the world shut down, when they were in that Super Bowl of 2020, and they were up 10 up against the Kansas City Chiefs with 7.5 to go, and they couldn't get the job done. But there's a chance Ayuk gets traded. Getting back to the point on the speculation of McCaffrey, I would be shocked if Christian McCaffrey gets traded. And I know there may be more of an appetite for a marquee NFL running back, and I still think he's viewed as a marquee NFL running back, and he's been more healthy than unhealthy in San Francisco. But this is the same Christian McCaffrey when the Panthers traded him. Everyone knew that they traded a great player, but they're like, oh, is he going to be able to stay healthy? And there were moments when he's been able to stay healthy in San Francisco. And then last year, he went back to a lot of times the Christian McCaffrey that we saw earlier in his career in Carolina, where unfortunately, he's more off the field than on the field. But with 3 years left on the contract, I don't think the timing makes sense now, even though, right, he's at 29, right? You know how we view running backs when they're right about to hit 30. But look at what the Niners lost this offseason. And you look at those other spots that I mentioned, like the Ravens could afford to lose pieces. You have Lamar. The Bills could afford to lose pieces. You have Josh Allen. The Bengals could afford to lose pieces. You have Joe Burrow. But you look at the 49ers, there's still a great unknown about the individual belief in the quarterback. So imagine if you're going to Brock Purdy and, right, you could pay him a fat extension this offseason and then it's, hey, okay, get the job done. But you need other great players around you. And if you've already taken away Debo and you may still take away Brandon Ayuk, how do you then take away Christian McCaffrey as well? So that's why I don't anticipate and I don't foresee the San Francisco 49ers this offseason, even though some people are starting to speculate it, and I get the natural speculation on why they would actually trade Christian McCaffrey right now. Because then it's almost like, okay, we're saying that Brock is the man. We're saying we're going to pay him. We're going to put this all on Brock's shoulders. And I don't think Brock Purdy is going to be able to carry the San Francisco 49ers if you take away not only Debo, Ayuk, and McCaffrey. Like, even if they trade Ayuk, that's someone, too, that I think the Niners should keep him. You could have your questions on what you think Brandon Ayuk is and how great he is, right? And I think right now he's a good wide receiver. He almost had 1,400 yards 2 years ago. He got hurt last year. You could argue where he falls, and, right, we just did the same thing with DK Metcalf, and the Seahawks didn't think he was worthy of giving him a 5-year, $150 million deal. He got that from the Steelers, and the Steelers gave a second-round pick. But once you got rid of Debo, that was the player that I thought was expendable. You now need to bank if you think the 49ers could bottle up what they've been able to do the last few years before this past season and find that magic again for 1 year and get back to a Super Bowl. Maybe Kansas City's not there and you beat them, or even if Kansas City is there, maybe the third time's a charm when you go up them. You're going to need Ayuk. You're going to need Christian McCaffrey. And inevitably there will be a time where Brock Purdy's going to have to not have the best weapons around him. But it wouldn't make sense to me, and I get why they got rid of Debo, why you would then also trade Ayuk and McCaffrey this offseason. And really McCaffrey, because you need to bank on him to be healthy, and that's just you're playing a gambler's game and you're just holding your breath that he does so. But when I ask you, Zach, who's the first player on the Niners offense that you think of? You're thinking of Christian McCaffrey right away. Without hesitation, first player you think of the San Francisco 49ers, the offense side of the ball, boom, Christian McCaffrey. It rolls right off the tip of your tongue. So that's why I don't anticipate Run CMC to get traded. It would not shock me if Ayuk does, but I would not do so if I was John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. Before we go to break, I wanted to bring this up in the opening segment today. So obviously, we are now Infinity Sports Network. For over a decade, we were CBS Sports Radio. When the network first launched, you heard a voice in the weekday lineup. And that was on from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, and that was John Feinstein. John Feinstein, it was a longtime host here for the network. He was a part of the original lineup. John Feinstein is a legendary and was a legendary writer. And unfortunately, we found out about 30 minutes before we got on the air today that John Feinstein did pass away today at his brother's home in Virginia at the age of 68. So our thoughts and prayers to the entire Feinstein family, our condolences. And, you know, as a national network, sometimes it's really tough to know who your listeners are because there's so many different markets that we hit. But John Feinstein was an iconic name on this network and someone who helped launch this network and someone that came with credibility and national respect. And even if you didn't always agree with his opinion, and right, John would give you his opinion, there's no doubt about that. And when you do this job, no one's always going to agree with your opinion. That wouldn't be fun if everyone just agreed with everything that you said. But he really came to the job always well-prepared, obviously well-researched. He was a phenomenal journalist, wrote a countless amount of books, legendary article after legendary article. And he's someone that meant a lot to this network. I've always said that I love John Feinstein's Sports Minutes, And he did a tremendous job hosting the radio show for a bunch of years here, right at the launch of what is now Infinity Sports Network, but at the time, CBS Sports Radio. I can't say that I knew John well, but any time I got to meet John or be in the presence of John, it was always a fun, thought-provoking conversation. I remember two times in particular. One time, I was just sat right next to him, you know, in a seating chart that they put out at a Temple basketball game. And we had a good conversation all throughout the game. And then shortly after that, ironically, we were going to the PGA Championship, which was at Bethpage Black. And we were on the same shuttle over, and we were talking once again. So obviously, John Feinstein was someone who loved sports. He was someone who was well-researched. He was passionate. And you look at the tweet that the Washington Post put out there. You know, he was a longtime Washington Post sports writer, talk show host, best-selling author of more than 40 books. So I could sit here and we could talk about the accolades of John Feinstein for a long time. But our network, we are operating today with the heavy heart, with the unfortunate and just somber loss of John Feinstein, as we remember him, as unfortunately we all just found out about 30 to 40 minutes ago that John did pass away at the age of 68. So, John, we will miss you. John, we love you. Our condolences, thoughts, and prayers to your family and to our community that is now mourning today. We're here for you as well. But John Feinstein, unfortunately, did pass away today at the age of 68. May you rest in peace. Russ has left the building. Russell Wilson has left the Cleveland Browns facility after meeting with them today, and he does not have a deal. By the way, we didn't talk about this yesterday. We did talk about Russell Wilson potentially meeting with the Cleveland Browns. And we said, if they sign Russell Wilson while also adding Kenny Pickett, then that probably tips their hand on that they're not taking a quarterback with the second overall pick. Because if you make two moves at the quarterback position, even though you still potentially could do so, because I don't think Russ or Kenny Pickett either are going to be very good where you think you have your franchise quarterback, but maybe that lends you into a little bit of the inner thinking of what the Browns are going to do with the number two overall pick. We'll get more to that coming up later on in the show, because I think I now know what the Cleveland Browns should do. But I think this is more so Russ just trying to get out there to put a little bit extra pressure on the Giants and put a little extra pressure on the Steelers of, I know you're waiting for Aaron Rodgers when he walks around the beach and, you know, whatever Aaron Rodgers is doing with all the drama about him. And I fear this now. I don't think it'll be that long, but I don't think we're getting the Rodgers news this week. And quite frankly, I hope we get it next week. I don't know if we're going to get it next week either. Peter Schrager could be onto something when this could take up to 4 weeks. And if that's the case, will the Giants or will the Pittsburgh Steelers say, okay, we're not waiting and we're just going to pivot to Russ? But Russ is going to try to get another team to bite, and then that could expedite the Steelers or Giants rushing to make a decision, because we all think the Rodgers domino will fall and then the Russell Wilson domino will fall after that. But maybe Russ could find a way to cut the front of the line on the Rodgers watch and make a team say, okay, I'm not going to wait for all this drama and for all this nonsense. But anyway, we'll get more to the Cleveland Browns coming up in just a bit. I heard something last night that provoked me to call the Bart Winkler show on the Infinity Sports Network. So I called Bart about a month ago, and this is not me like being a bad teammate or pretending to be a host that doesn't listen. Like, I listen. But the timing of Bart's show, and Bart's a friend, I love Bart, it's not conducive to me, right? It's 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. I got a lot going on during the weeks, and if I don't got a lot going on, guess what? I'm sleeping. So I tuned into Bart last night for the first time in a month. And last time I tuned in, I called in and we like had a laugh over something. I think it was Aaron Rodgers related. But last night I called because I heard a take on Bart's show. Not from Bart, but from Carlos with a K that I thought was just a ludicrous. And I mean a ludicrous take. Now, Carlos with the K, who is a friend, I have gone to a Mets-Cubs game with Carlos with the K. I have taken Carlos to a Rangers game. I have hung out and I've had many cervezas with Carlos with the K. I enjoy Carlos with the K's presence. I also think he is incredible on the board. They had me laughing last night, besides a stupid take that Carlos gave. And they had me laughing with all the drops that Carlos plays. There was one moment on that show where Carlos played a drop of Bart, and I thought Bart said that on the air, and I was like, that's a weird comment to make. But it ended up being a drop, and then I realized it was a drop. So what I'm doing right now is I'm praising someone before I get to the butt. I'm a little annoyed with Carlos for two reasons. One, he lost a bet to me, and is supposed to take me to a restaurant, and he still hasn't done so. That I'll forgive a little bit, Carlos with the K, even though he's being a little bit of a rat, if we're being honest. You know, you lose a bet, don't make me have to show up with the baseball bat and break your kneecaps for you to pay up on a dinner that you owe me because you were an overzealous, dopey Giant fan and you thought Saquon Barkley wouldn't play, I think it was in 7.5 games for the Philadelphia Eagles. But this take last night made me call the Bart Winkler show. And, you know, we used to have a boss here, Mark Chernoff. And I love Mark Chernoff. He's a radio legend. And I don't think this stance should be followed that Mark would always say. Because Mark would always go, you know, Zach, you put too much of Ben Horowitz and James Graceffo on the air when you're doing the overnights. They're producers for a reason. If I wanted them to be hosts, I wouldn't make them producers. So I don't always believe in that theory. Like, I'm not saying that the producers, all right, like, should have an open mic 24/7 and just chime in whenever they want, but I do think it creates a healthy relationship on a show when you have the ability to get somebody else's opinion that sits there and listens to what you have to say for 3-4 hours each and every day. But last night, when I heard Carlos with the K issue this take that was just verbal diarrhea, I'm sitting there and I'm saying to myself, you know, Mark Chernoff, was he was still here, he'd be saying, Carlos with the K, I want you to just be Carlos on the board. You know, I don't want you giving your opinion on the air. Just let Bart give his opinion. And that's how Mark Chernoff used to sound. He's a radio legend. He hired me here. I absolutely love Mark Chernoff. But just because you love someone doesn't mean you always agree with them. So I'm going to play this take. And then ironically, I'm going to go to Stu and I'm going to go to Samter to get their opinion on it. But I think to start the year of 2025, we're now 3 months into the year, right? We're in March. I think this on our network, the Infinity Sports Network, is in the first spot for the dumbest take of the year. We should follow this. We should do this. We should do dumbest take of the year on the network and see who ends up having the dumbest take at the end of the year. But right now, this is the leader for dumbest take of the year. Here is Carlos with a K.
I'm comfortable eliminating a ninth team. Now, that's not my job. I'm not the barometer. But I'm good with killing another team right now. And that team,
who do you want to kill?
Is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, what?
They are not making the playoffs.
I mean, they might not. They might not.
I am confident. This is a Carlos with a K stamp of approval.
Last year I did this with the Niners, and I was right.
I am going to be marching in the streets with a sign that says Kansas City will not make the playoffs. I want this proclamated. I want this laminated somewhere in the studio, somewhere in your studio on March 12, 2025. Even though I said this earlier, but I'll make it official today. The Kansas City Chiefs will not make the playoffs this next season.
Now, I have many opinions on this. But I'm going to open it up to Stu first. Because, Stu, your team plays in the AFC West. Your team was 4-13 last year, and they were looking up at the Denver Broncos, the Los Angeles Raiders, and then also the Kansas City Chiefs. The Raiders are looking so far up, I don't even know if they could see the Chiefs. Like, that's how far away the Chiefs are from the Raiders. When you hear Carlos with a K last night on the Infinity Sports Network on the esteemed Bart Winkler Show, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on many of these same Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 375, and the always free Odyssey app. And that's how I was consuming the program last night on the always free Odyssey app. When you hear him say the Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs, what's your first thought?
I think that's crazy. I think if you told me teams I would guarantee to make the playoffs, they might be first. And if they're not first, they're top three for sure. I cannot envision, unless injury, which I know we're not talking injuries here, because anything could happen with injuries. But if we're not talking injuries, I cannot see a world where they don't make the playoffs.
That's the only way they don't make the playoffs next year, is if 15 gets hurt and misses a substantial amount of time. The only way. And I'll even play this game. Let's say the Chiefs don't win the division, which I'm not ready to say the Chargers or Broncos are ready to win the division. But let's say the Chargers or the Broncos do win the division, one of them. Are the Chiefs then going to miss out on the wild card? Like, let's play this game. Let's give Carlos with a K what he wants, us to entertain his stupid take. Bills win the AFC East. Let's say the Ravens win the AFC North. The Texans win the South. And you know what? Let's go the Broncos win the AFC West. So that means I got to pick then three teams in front of the Chiefs to make the playoffs over them. So you'd have to bank on the Chargers. You would have to bank on the Steelers, right? And the Bengals. And then, like, if you want to throw other teams in the mix, maybe the Miami Dolphins. So, like, those are four teams there, and probably the only four teams with the division winners that I gave that would have a chance to make the wild card. And I'm saying it's a crazy if right now to pick against the Chiefs to win the division, but let's just say they don't win the division. It is Denver. You're telling me that the Chiefs aren't going to be able to beat out the Chargers, right? The Steelers, the Bengals, and the Dolphins to make the postseason. I just don't see a way outside of injury, like Stu so eloquently pointed out. I don't see a way how the Chiefs miss the postseason. Now, Samter, you are a Fugazi Chiefs fan. You embraced them for 2 years when they won back-to-back championships and you left the Jets. And then the Chiefs got embarrassed in the Super Bowl, and you looked at the Kansas City Chiefs like they were the plague or something like that. Like, you wanted to be nowhere close to them, and now you try to proclaim that you're no longer a Kansas City Chiefs fan. With that being said, though, when you hear Carlos with the K, and I know Mike is never opposed to slapping around another producer around here. When you hear Carlos with the K, one of your fellow coworkers, get on the national radio airwaves and the 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time slot and say the Chiefs aren't making the playoffs, your thoughts are what, my friend?
He has now gotten into Dave Shepard range.
Oh. Your words, not mine. I don't want any phone calls. Your words, not mine.
I can beat 60-year-old Mike Tyson in a fight. I could coach the Lakers. The Chiefs aren't making the playoffs. Those right there are in the same stratosphere. Now listen, it's the NFL. Anything can happen. Whether Mahomes gets hurt or not, could I see the Chiefs finishing like 11-6 and missing the playoffs because their division has gotten very tough? I guess it's possible. But like Stu said, if I'm making a list of teams that I'm guaranteeing to be in the playoffs,
yeah,
is the Eagles, the Lions, the Bills, and the Chiefs are like right at that top of that list.
Honestly, here's why it's a dumb take. For many reasons. And I think Carlos is just giving this take, right? And it's one of those takes where Carlos gives it. And I'm not saying Carlos is a guy that just gives a take for a reaction, right? Because he's a very good guy. I think he means everything he says. But when I hear someone say, hey, the Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs, I think you're just looking for attention. Like, I honestly think you're just doing that for attention.
And it's working, apparently.
It is. We're talking about him. I called him last night after having a few drinks, and I was slapping him around. You know, I absolutely verbally slapped Carlos with a K around. But you just mentioned it. Like, teams that you would say are locks to make the playoffs, you said the Bills, right, were one of them. The Bills can't beat the Chiefs when it matters. The Ravens can't beat the Chiefs when it matters. So, like, those are two creme de la creme teams in the AFC that are behind Kansas City. So those two teams had all those chances to beat them when it matters, not in the regular season. And we talk about, oh, the Chiefs are being vulnerable, because this take was pretty much the Chiefs were lucky to be 15-2 last year. They had a lot of close one-score games, a lot of favorable bounces. Well, we've seen Buffalo this year give everything they could to Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, and it wasn't enough. 2 years ago, we saw the Ravens have home field advantage. The Chiefs did nothing on offense, and it wasn't enough. So this isn't, oh, I don't think the Chiefs aren't going to the Super Bowl. That's a different take. I wouldn't be slamming Carlos for that. But it's seven teams. Seven are going to be able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs out for a postseason spot as long as Mahomes doesn't get hurt. Like, are Herbert and the Chargers ready? No. Is Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos ready? No. C.J. Stroud, we don't even know who's going to be on his offensive line. And the Ravens and the Bills, until they do it, it's tough to say they will. Like the Dolphins, they're not going to be in the playoffs over the Chiefs. The Steelers, they're not going to be in the playoffs over the Chiefs. And the Bengals, they have the Chiefs' number, but we saw them lose the last time they played in the playoffs to Cincinnati, to Kansas City. Cincinnati lost to them. So Carlos with the K, throwing this one out there. This is a mega take, and it's one that we will follow. It is one that we will remember. And hey, if Carlos is right at the end of the year and it has nothing to do with injury, and I'm talking just injury at the quarterback position, I won't weasel my way out of this or they miss the playoffs and it's like, oh, 3/5 of their offensive line was out. And, you know, 2 of their wide receiver. No, as long as Mahomes plays at least 15 games, 14 games in the regular season, like right around there, the Chiefs are making the playoffs. And now this is in line for dumbest take of the year on the network, Carlos with a K. So, Carlos, you owe me dinner. And also, when you serve me up that dinner, I may give you a prize and announce to the restaurant. We have an award to give out. Dumbest take of the year from the Infinity Sports Network. Carlos with a K, come on down. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back with what the Browns should do with the number 2 overall pick in the draft. Update time first. Here's Zach. This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai. The Hyundai Getaway Sales event is going on now. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. But don't wait. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Hey, Stu, can I get a take from Stu and Samter real quickly? The weather these days in New York City. What are your thoughts on the weather these days? Because, like, we're at the point now where it's still windy, but the temperature's going up. And today it's 50 degrees. Here in the city. It's sunny, but it's windy. So, Stu, any take on the weather right now? Because I have one.
I think it's pretty good. I mean, we're getting to the point where it's going to be really nice soon, but I'll take this over what we had like a month ago, which was like 10-degree feel with wind. So I will take this over.
Samter, your thoughts on the weather. I want to see if anyone can get this take correct.
I'm sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of it being 80 one day, 40 the next day, 60 the next day, snowing the next day. We're still getting a snowstorm sometime in the next week or so.
We haven't had a bad snowstorm in a while.
Yeah, in like a week.
No. I really think in like 3-4 years. There's not been a terrible snowstorm in the city.
Tell that to my back, my arms, and my quads as I've been shoveling my driveway for the past 3 months consecutively.
In Connecticut?
Yeah. Non-stop shoveling.
Stu, am I crazy here? We have not had, I feel like living in the city since 2019, I have not had a crazy snowstorm. The last crazy snowstorm I remember that I was here, also that could be another thing, like if I'm away, whatever, that I could remember being in the city for was Super Bowl Sunday when Tom Brady won the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was like the last crazy snowstorm I at least remember.
Yeah, in terms of anything that's like 5, 6, 7, 8 inches where they're either getting us hotels to stay here. Like, that's been like 4 or 5 years, I feel like.
You big shoveler, Samter?
I mean, I don't enjoy it, but yeah, I've kind of had to be a big shoveler this year.
I live in bougie Connecticut. I think you would just hire someone to shovel your own snow.
No. I'm not going to hire anybody to shovel my snow.
How old
and eventually,
are you?
45 now. Crazy.
Mm.
Eventually.
Wife's going to start getting on you for shoveling.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, my mom would, I would always be willing to shovel the driveway, have no problem. But my dad like loved to shovel the driveway. And my mom would be like, go help your father. Like, go outside. Like, don't have him do this. He's an old, like, out of shape man, pretty much, is what my mom would say to my dad. So just wait. Your wife will eventually say you're going to go hire someone. And that's what's going to happen. But my take on the weather is this. I hate, like, kind of Samter was on to it before he got into the snow part, at least, you know, for us in the city. But I hate this. It's freezing 1 week, then it's warm the next week, then it's back to freezing. My lips for the last 2 weeks have been so chapped. And I wear a ton of chapstick, right? Moisturizer, all that stuff. Just the last 2 weeks, I've had chapped lips. and it is the worst. And I'm even sitting here, I'm doing the show, and I'm talking, and it's so uncomfortable. And, like, from time to time, I'll, like, lick my lips a little bit. Never thought I'd be saying that on a radio program. There's probably another drop. And it's just uncomfortable. And that's why this weather is really annoying me right now. So that's where I'm at right now with the weather. Anyway, the Cleveland Browns. Still, I'm still mind bleeped on this one. What the Browns are going to do with the number two overall pick. Because Schefter both threw us for a loop. And we're looking at Adam Schefter and, right, the latest on this number two overall pick. And I think we played you that audio yesterday when he walked it back. And he said, oh, I was confident. The thing I was most confident was that the Browns were going to take a quarterback at number two in this draft. And now there is there's not a lot of confidence. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, what changed? Kenny Pickett, no offense to Kenny Pickett and Chris in California, our guy Kenny Pickett. I don't think bringing in Kenny Pickett changes the fact that the Browns aren't going to take a quarterback at two. Now, like I just said earlier, they met with Russ today. Russ left without a contract. Now he's coming to New York to meet with the Giants or the Swamps of Jersey. So do I think if Russell Wilson ends up signing with the Browns, that takes them out of a quarterback with the number two overall pick? I'm not going to say 1,000% it does, but I would say it's an unlikely Cleveland takes a quarterback at two. Here's how I'll answer it. Because, Stu, I don't know if we share the same thought. I'm almost tired of thinking, what will the Browns do? I'm almost just, this is what they should do. I'm assuming at number one, Cam Ward's going. Whether it's Tennessee themselves taking him or the Giants moving up from 3-1 to get him. Now, I'm looking at the two other players you could take if you're not taking a quarterback at two. I personally think Abdul Carter's the best player in this draft. I don't think after the Browns just won the Myles Garrett sweepstakes and were able to keep him, and they just gave him that contract. I'm not saying they couldn't draft Abdul Carter because you have a nice little 1-2 punch. I just don't think they're going to because of the commitment they just made to Myles Garrett. So you have Denzel Ward on one side. Can you throw Travis Hunter on the other and also use him, you know, out of the backfield and as a wide receiver as well? Yes, you could. So to me now, the decision for the Browns is between the two Colorado guys. It's, are you taking Travis Hunter at the number two overall pick, or are you taking Shedeur Sanders? And if I'm Cleveland, I'm taking the quarterback. I think the Browns should draft Shedeur Sanders. Now, I think Travis Hunter's the better player. I think Abdul Carter is the better player. And I know a lot of people are going to tell me, don't take a quarterback if you don't love the quarterback. If you just like the quarterback number two overall, you can't do that. But what's the Browns' future at that quarterback position? What's the way to materialize some hope and some optimism at the quarterback position? You gotta go make a move. And trading for Kenny Pickett doesn't do that. Signing Russell Wilson doesn't do that. So I think they need, even if it's considered a reach at two, to go draft Shedeur Sanders. Because at least you're trying something at the quarterback position. And I know people could say, oh, but if you miss at the quarterback, it will set your franchise back years. It's Cleveland. We've been talking about them getting a quarterback for 20 dang years. There's a photo online of a guy with a Browns jersey that has like 3,000 names on it. So, yeah. The Browns should go on out there, and they should draft Shedeur Sanders as long as Cam Ward doesn't go one. If Cam Ward doesn't go one, then you take Cam Ward at two. But if Cam Ward is off the board, I would take the quarterback. But I will say there's a difference on what should happen and what will happen. And Stu and I will do a mock draft later. But right now, in terms of what will happen, I don't think the Cleveland Browns will take a quarterback. I just don't with the first round pick to second overall. I think they should though, Stu. I don't know where you're at on this, Stu, but give me your take on what the Browns should do, not what they will do, because I don't want to ruin the exercise coming up at the mock draft in about an hour or 50 minutes or so, whenever we're going to do that. 30 minutes from now is when we're going to do that. What's your take right now on what the Browns should do?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they should go Shedeur at two, assuming he's there, which I think very, 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 very likely that he will be there. And just the fact that you are in a position to draft a quarterback, like I was mad when the Raiders won their, you know, two out of last three or whatever it was to kind of knock themselves out of that position. You're in position to get a quarterback when you haven't had one in forever. Even if it's not 100% that he's going to be a franchise quarterback, whatever the percentage is, I think you take that chance.
And look how many quarterbacks that the Browns have had. So it's like, even if you mess up on this one, like any other team, all right, you miss on a quarterback early. It's like, oh my goodness gracious, you're going to set the franchise back for years. The Browns have had 7,000 quarterbacks. You know, you look at their page and you just see the Browns since, let's go, you know, I only have a minute left. I would run out of time. I was going to say since 2001. I wouldn't even get to 2006. There's 10 names that started from 2001 to just 2005. Imagine if I sat here and I went through from 2001. That was the last time outside of Baker Mayfield, the Baker Mayfield years, that the Browns had someone start one quarterback all 16 games. Since 2001, they've only had it three times. Three times a quarterback start all 16 games. 2001 with Tim Couch, 2019 with Baker Mayfield, 2020 with Baker Mayfield. Every other year, there is at least, oh my goodness gracious, two guys, if not three. Some years, four. 1 year, five that have started for the Browns. So I literally don't have the time. So what, Cleveland, if you draft a quarterback at two and it doesn't work? It never works for you. 19,000 times a charm, right? Don't they say that?